Okay, Halakach Va'alibov is written by Rav Avraham Shur, Shlita. He's one of the great Torah personalities in the world today. lives in Brooklyn. The son of Rav Gedalia Shur, the Or Gedaliah. And Rav Shur Shlita has many, many, many svarim. I have a whole shelf of his svarim right over here. You can see this whole pile over here. These white books are all his. There's many more upstairs. Baruch Hashem, he has a lot of svarim. So he put out a volume, a beautiful volume on Chanukah, called Halekach V'Halibov. The first piece on Kislev, he talks about... Okay, so before we go any further, let's just pause for 1 second and talk about this concept. There are 12 months, and there are 12 Shvatim. So obviously what that means is that every month is going to have a corresponding Shevet. So if you take a look, I gave you a little chart over here. Right, from Nisan through Adar, since of course the Torah says that Nisan is really the first month of the Jewish calendar. And there are different ways to line up the Shvatim with the months. And it produces very interesting results. So for example, one Mahalach that we find is to put the Shvatim in the order that they're mentioned in the beginning of Sefer Shemos, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Hud, the Yisachar, Zvul, and you can see that middle column. But the more common practice, as you can see on the far left column, is to arrange the Shvatim according to the way that they traveled, according to the Degalim and the way that they camped, according to the way that the Karbanos are brought of the Nesiim. And this is the approach, as you can see down here on the footnote, of the Arizal and the Vilna Gaon. And this is a common approach that we find in the Svarim. So if that's correct, Nisan is Yehuda, Iyar is Yisachar, and you work your way down, you come to Chodesh Kislev. Kislev is Binyamin. Teves is Dan, Asher, Naphtali. Okay, so Kislev, according to the Arizal, the Vilna Gaon, has a strong connection to Shevet Binyamin. So you have to start thinking to yourself, well, what do I know about Binyamin? What do I know about Binyamin the person? What do I know about Binyamin the Shevet? And how will that help me to understand what Chodesh Kislev is about? So Rav Shur, in his introduction to the Sefer, he talks about different aspects of Shevet Binyamin, how Binyamin is the Kalach of Tznius, and Binyamin is the Kalach of Tfila, and Binyamin is the Kalach of Teshuka, of longing, of desire, and Binyamin is the concept of Tosefes Shabbos, and Binyamin is the place of Hashras Hashchina in the Beis HaMikdash, and then Binyamin is connected to reciting 100 brachos a day. Right? Many connections between Binyamin and these qualities, and then Rav Shur links each of them to Kislev. But the first one, which I didn't mention yet, the first one that he talks about is Binyamin's connection to the Kalach of Shtika, the Kalach of silence, the ability to be quiet. Okay? And he's going to explain to us what that has to do with the month of Kislev, what does silence have to do with Chanukah. If anything, Chanukah is a time where we raise up our voice, Lahodus, Lahalel, we say a full Hallel every day of Chanukah. It's a time of singing, of you know, finding our voice, so to speak. So why is Binyamin silence? And why is Kislev silence? And what does that teach us about ourselves? And again, I partially picked this topic because just to, you know, to stay in line with what we're learning in Psachim, right? In Daf Gimel, not that we're learning Daf Gimel today, but in Daf Gimel and Maseches Psachim, the Gemara, after finally concluding that Or means night, Or La Arbasar, Or means night, the Gemara says, why don't you just say the word Laila? And the Gemara's answer is that Lishna Ma'al Yahu Dinakat. The Gemara wanted to use a very refined word, because the Torah is very sensitive to our speech, and the Torah will avoid using the word Tameh if it can. It'll avoid using words that are less than refined. And even if that means sometimes changing the words of the Torah, writing it in a more elongated way, instead of writing tame, it refers to an animal as not tahor. So we see the sensitivity that a Jew has when it comes to speech. Also, let's just connect to the parsha for a second. I'll tell you an unbelievable insight from Rav Moshe Feinstein from this past week's parsha. Yaakov Avinu is getting the brachos from his father Yitzchak. What would you say is the midah of Yaakov? If I asked you to pick, tell me one thing about Yaakov. Describe Yaakov in one word. What would you say? He's an ishtam. He's Yoshev Oalim. He learns a lot of Torah. If you had to say one word to describe Yaakov, what word would you use? Go for it, anyone.
They call him MS.
MS. Titein MS LeYaakov. That's right. Yaakov's midah is the midah of MS. More than anything else, Yaakov is MS. And Yaakov is asked by his mother, Rivka, to do what? To compromise his MS. To go before Yitzchak, to dress himself up like Esav, to speak in a deceptive way, to serve a meal, to steal, in quotes, the brachos, right? And that was a very hard thing for Yaakov Avinu to do. It was very, very hard for Yaakov Avinu to put himself in that position. Rivka forced him to do it. She said it has to happen. And Yaakov does it. Yaakov is forced to somehow compromise his midah of emes. So now he's standing before his father, Chevra. And what does Yitzchak Avinu say? Hakol kol Yaakov, ayadayim yidei Esav. Yitzchak says, this voice sounds like Yaakov. What about the voice? Some actually say that Yaakov tried to mimic the voice of Esav. He tried to impersonate the tone, the sound of Esav's voice. So what was the kol kol Yaakov that Yitzchak noticed? So Chevra, if you learned Rashi this past week, you'll have found two Rashis. Rashi says there were two things that Yaakov said that caught Yitzchak off guard. He was very confused by it. First of all, he said the word na. He said, please. He said, kum na shiva. Please sit up, my father. And Yitzchak says to himself, and I'm quoting Rashi, ein derech Esav lios. Oh, sorry, that's the other one. Shemidaber b'lashon tachanunim. Hakol kol Yaakov, that Yaakov spoke in a respectful way. B'lashon tachnunim. Kum na, please sit up, my father. As opposed to Esav, who just says, Yakum avi, get up, dad. And Yitzchak is surprised. This refined speech is so interesting. Hakol kol Yaakov, that's not the way that Esav talks. What was the other thing that caught Yitzchak by surprise? When he says to his son, how did you get here so quickly? So he says, yeah, I was successful when I was hunting. Ki hikra Hashem Elokecha lefanai. Hashem helped me to have success. So again, Yitzchak says, well, what kind of language is this? Ein derech Esav lios shem shemayim shagar bepiv. Since when does Esav talk about Hashem helping him out on the battlefield, helping him in his hunting? He was very surprised by this. So Chava, let me ask you a very, very simple question, okay? Think about this question for half a second. Yaakov is prepared to dress up like Esav. He's prepared to compromise the midah of emes, which is his essence, titen emes liyaakov. He goes before his father. He's serving this deceptive meal. And he's perhaps even mimicking the voice, the tone of the voice of Esav. He's putting on a deep voice. And yet, he still speaks like a Yaakov, hakol kol Yaakov. He's being polite. He's doing the whole God talk thing. You know, he's talking about Hashem. So Rav Moshe Feinstein asked such a simple question. Rav Moshe said, I don't understand. So just drop the polite talk. Speak a little, you know, a little more gruff. Speak a little bit more like Esav. So don't say, Ki hikra Hashem alokecha lefanai. Don't say that God helped me to catch this animal and when I, you know, to serve you this meal. And don't say, Kum na, please, Dad, please sit up. Just drop that. You're doing everything else to disguise your MS. Why can't you just change your language? Chever, you know what the answer is. What's Rav Moshe Feinstein's answer? Rav Moshe Feinstein said, because you see from here that even if one, like Yaakov Avinu, has to compromise his midah of emes, which was not an easy thing for him to do, but he literally could not bring himself, think about this for half a second, he literally could not bring himself to speak in an unrefined way. He couldn't talk to his father in a way that was harsh for a couple of seconds. Even if it meant getting caught, even if it meant being cursed instead of blessed. Yaakov Avinu understood the Koach HaDibur, and that's what we're about to learn about today in the context of Chanukah. He understood the power of speech in such a serious way that he couldn't bring himself. He couldn't bring himself to speak in a way that was hurtful, in a way that was harsh, in a way that was gruff. He couldn't do it. That's so unbelievable. And again, that's what our Gemara in Psachim tells us on Daf Gimel. The Gemara says, we spent a daf and a half trying to figure out what the word or means. Just say Lila. No. There's a nicer way to say it. The Torah sometimes goes out of its way. It changes letters. Instead of saying Tomei, the Torah says a behema asher einena tahora. The Gemara says the Torah deviated 8 letters, and it says, and I'll bring another example where the Torah changed 9 letters, 10 letters, 16 letters. The Torah changed 16 letters to speak in a nicer way. And the Gemara basically spends all of Daf Gimel teaching us how to speak in a refined way. Why? Because it's the essence of being a Jew. However, there was a great Rav of Shmuel Brodny, passed away in 1981. He was one of the Jews who, you know, during World War II was part of the Mir Yeshiva's flight, you know, trying to survive. He eventually became a Rebbe in Mir, Rav Shmuel Brodny. Again, he passed away in 1981. So I read a story one time. Rav Shmuel Brodny one time was giving shir, and he was talking about a case of someone who damaged someone else's property. So he said, as an example, right? He said, so for example, let's imagine, he said to one of the guys in the shir, let's call him Yankel. So he said, so imagine Yankel has a sweater that's worth $3. Yankel was wearing a sweater that day. So Yankel, imagine your sweater costs $3. And he went on and he gave this example. So after shir, he called Yankel over. He said, Yankel, I have to apologize to you. Rebbe, why do you have to apologize to me? I'm afraid that I hope I didn't insult you. Insult? What are you talking about? He said, when I was giving the example today, I picked you and I picked your sweater. And you're wearing a very nice sweater. But I gave the example, you know, imagine Yankel's sweater only costs $3, costs $3. And I realized you might have been hurt by that because it's a very nice sweater. I'm sure it costs a lot more than that. I don't want you to think that I was, you know, saying that your sweater is like a cheap sweater. It's not a nice sweater. I hope I didn't insult you. I hope I didn't hurt your feelings. So he says, Rebbe, of course not. You didn't hurt my feelings. I understood. You were giving an example. But Rav Shmuel Brodny, it was 3 days before he passed away. 3 days before Rav Shmuel Brodny passed away, this big Rosh Yeshiva, what was he thinking about? He was thinking about, how can I be more sensitive in my speech? So Yaakov Avinu goes before Yitzchak, and he's getting the brachos, and he's compromising the mid of MS, but he can't speak in a way that's not sensitive. Okay? So, Chavar, let's learn about the koach of shtika. Let's learn about the power of sometimes not speaking at all. As Reb Mendel Fortefas, one of the great mashpiyas of Chabad, used to say, you know why Hashem gave us eyes? Hashem gave us eyes to speak. You know why Hashem gave us a mouth? Hashem gave us a mouth to keep quiet with. Okay, so let's learn about the koach of shtika and how by being quiet allows our mouth to become pure. And then when you have a pure mouth, then Chanukah comes and you open your mouth and you start singing Hallel to Hashem on Chanukah, then it's worth something. But if you're a person who doesn't control your koach hadibur, so it's not worth all that much. Okay, so Chavar, let's jump in. Says Rav Avram Shor ben Yamin koach hashtika. Amru Chazal, we're going to start with the Medrash. The Medrash says in Esther Rabbah, the Medrash Rabbah on Esther, in Megillas Esther. Rachel tafsa plach shtika. Rachel Imenu chose for herself the tool of silence. Where did Rachel remain quiet? Rasa sivlonosea biyad achosa vishaska. Rachel saw that her husband was being taken away from her. In other words, that Leah was going to end up with Yaakov Avinu. And obviously, you have to understand what that meant. As the Mefarshim explained, that meant that Rachel thought, if Leah marries Yaakov, if Leah, so to speak, steals my husband, so then she thought for a moment she's going to have to marry Esav. There was a thought that maybe the twins are going to marry the twins. What? The twins? Rachel and Leah are twins? Yes, according to some opinions in Chazal, Rachel and Leah were also twins. Yaakov, that meant that Rachel silently, the pain of her husband being taken away. Wow. So Rachel, who was so powerful with this koach of silence, Binyamin Binah, her son Binyamin, tafas b'shtika. Binyamin also had this koach of shtika. Where do we see that Binyamin had the koach of shtika? Let's see. Teda, we should know, that the Evan, Shahaisa Bechoshen, Haisa Yashpe. However, we know the 12 stones of the Kohen Gadol's breastplate correspond as well to the 12 Shvatim. What is the stone that corresponds to Binyamin? The name of the stone is the Yashpe stone. Yashpe. Says the Medrash, Yashpe. Look at the words, Yashpe. What does that mean? The stone of Binyamin was the Yashpe. Lomar Yodea Hayiv Mechiras Yosef Vishosek. Binyamin knew about Mechiras Yosef. He knew the truth of the matter. He was the only one who was innocent. And yet he kept quiet. He knew you don't have to always say, you don't have to always, you know, butt into whatever's happening, to someone else's machlokas. Yashpe, Yesh, Peh Vishosek. Says the Medrash, the stone Yashpe means Yeshpe, I have a mouth, but I know how to guard my mouth. And if you follow the line of Rachel throughout the generations, we find that Shaul, Shaul HaMelech, when he becomes Melech, Ves Devar HaMelucha Lo Higid Lo, he also knew how to keep quiet. And who else comes from this line? Esther. Ein Esther Magedes Moladeta Ves Amoch. Esther also knew how to keep quiet. So Rachel, Binyamin, Shaul, Esther, they all had this midah of shtika. Okay? And that's why they each one of them has a shtickel royalty that's connected to them. Binyamin, again, will be the primary territory that houses the Beis HaMikdash. Shaul HaMelech, Esther HaMalka, Rachel Imenu has a certain royal quality to her. Yeah, Yaakov, let's hear.
But didn't Shaul Shtika get into a lot of trouble, like the fact that he didn't speak up and he was a little too humble?
That's true. Too much Shtika is also dangerous. So let's get into that irony, because the irony that should be jumping out at you, Chevra, when you look at this Medrash, is what? What is the name of the stone that we're saying is Binyamin's stone, which is the embodiment of silence? The Yashpe stone. Why is it called the Yashpe? Because Yeshpe, it has a mouth, and yet, Shosek. So why would you name the stone Yeshpe? Why emphasize that it has a mouth? Why do I want to emphasize a mouth? Right? I mean, I told you a minute ago, there was a great Chabad personality. Reb Mendel Fortefas used to say that Hashem gave you a mouth to be quiet with. Your eyes are to be communicate with, and your mouth is to be quiet with. Someone told me in shul this past Shabbos, he said that his mother's yard site is Thursday. And he said his mother, I guess I think she had a stroke maybe when she was about 50 years old. She ended up living for another 20 years. And he told me, he said, my mother used to communicate with us, to us with her eyes. She spoke to us with her eyes. She didn't have the Kalach HaDibor, but she spoke with her eyes. Right? So why did Hashem gave us a mouth to be quiet with? That's the purpose of my mouth? No, Dov, let's hear.
It's not impressive to be quiet if you don't have a mouth.
Ah. So you're saying the whole value of shtika is only a person who could choose to speak and has what to say, right? Or on a certain level wants to say, and yet is guarded, is still able to control one's mouth. Okay? All right, good. So let's see. L'chore yesh lahavin ma she'evno shel Binyamin nikre yashpei al shem ha'shtika. So says Rav Avmashur, I don't understand. Again, our question, why do you have to mention that there is a mouth, which seemingly a mouth is more al koach hadibor? You would think a mouth is about speaking, right? Not about being quiet. So he quotes from the Sfas Emes in this week's Parsha. Parsha's Vayetze. And the Sfas Emes explains a beautiful idea. Rachel was the one who kept quiet. If I were to ask you about Rachel and Leah, which one is more of a public figure? Which one is more of a private figure? Well, the Zohar actually says that Rachel is more revealed and Leah is more concealed. Rachel is more revealed, Leah is more concealed. You see that, by the way, even in the way that they're buried. Where is Leah buried? Where is Leah buried?
Mara
Samach Pela. Right? Where is Rachel buried? Rachel's buried somewhere on the road, right? Kever Rachel. It's above ground. It's out in the open, right? Leah is buried beneath the surface. Leah represents alma diskasya, to use the language of the Zohar, concealment, and Rachel represents a certain openness. Okay, that's why Rachel's son Yosef becomes this great world leader in Mitzrayim. Rachel represents a certain you know, outward presentation. Now, if you'll tell me, Leah also, she went out. Right, Leah, Dina comes from Leah, and Dina went out, she learned from Leah. Okay, there's stiras you could ask on this as well. But says the Sfas Emes, Rachel chose the midah of silence. L'chora, says the Sfas Emes, based on what we find in the Zohar Kadosh, de Rachel alma de Isgalia, ein ze kesugya samedrash. That which we find in the Zohar, that Rachel represents the world of Isgalia, of revealed, of revelation, it doesn't seem to fit with this Medrash. The Medrash is saying that Rachel is the embodiment of silence, and her whole line, that whole lineage that comes from Rachel, they all walked in her footsteps. Right? Binyamin knew how to keep quiet, and Shaul HaMelech knew how to keep quiet, and Esther knew how to keep quiet. This is all the legacy of Rachel, but I thought the Zohar says that Rachel is the one who's revealed. Says the Sfas Emes, exactly what Dov was alluding to. Achein yitochein lomar dihi hanosenes. But that's exactly the point. The person who doesn't have anything to say and talks, so they're just a fool. But the person who's yesh peh, who has a mouth, the person who has what to say, the person who in a certain sense, you know, has the microphone and yet still is guarded, still is cautious. The Torah, which are the most important words ever spoken, and yet like the Gemara tells us in Psachim Daf Gimel, how the Torah is navigating to make sure to speak in a careful way, in a cautious way, in a refined way, how every letter is calculated. Right? So that's saying something. To have a mouth and to guard the mouth. That's exactly right. The person who has a mouth and knows how to guard one's mouth, right? That's a person who truly has a mouth. And to such a person, says the Sfas Emes, the secrets of Torah will be revealed. Right? A person who knows how to measure their words will be able to say very profound things. They'll have access to deep secrets of Torah. L'chein rachel shetafsa plach shtika, hi mechuvenes la'alma d'isgalia. So therefore, Rachel, yes, she represents, so to speak, the one who's revealed. Right? She has access, she reveals the secrets. By what? By not revealing the secrets. A little counterintuitive. V'chein d'var ha'melucha lo higid. Again, like it says about Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech is shayach to melucha, dafka because, what? Because he was guarded in his speech. V'ha'melucha hu olam adibur. A king rules with his speech. A king proclaims, right? Malchus in the spheros. Malchus corresponds, we said that each of the spheros correspond to a body part. Chesed is the right arm. Gevura is the left arm. Tiferes is the body, right? What's melucha? Malchus? Malchus corresponds to the pet, to Dibor. A king rules with his speech. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, manig nikra dabran. The Gemara says that a manhig, that a leader, is called a dabar, which really just means a leader. But it's from the word Dibor, because he rules with his speech. So what does it mean? A melech is the embodiment of speech. David HaMelech, who on the one hand is so humble, and yet David HaMelech is the one who davens more than anyone. Va'ani tefila. He's always talking, but he's also never talking. Right? So dafka, the person who knows how to say and when to say and when not to say, such a person has a true mouth. He explains the Sfas Emes elsewhere. He quotes another Sfas Emes. Amnam zeh atzmo sod hamishapechas. This is the secret of what? Of paradoxes. Of ironies. Kimi she'ein yachol la'atzor diburo ein lo peh. A person who doesn't know how to stop talking doesn't have a mouth. V'hu b'rishus piv. And he is what? He's not in control of his mouth. His mouth is in control of him. He is b'rishus piv. Right? He's in the clutches of his mouth. He can't control himself. He doesn't know how to stop. Kumo rishayim b'rishus liban. Like the Medrash says, that a rasha can't control his lave. A Russia doesn't know how to rule over his heart. His desires, you know, drag him into all sorts of behaviors that he says, oh, I wish I wouldn't do this. But he can't stop himself. He's addicted to his desires. So he's addicted to speech sometimes. He can't stop himself from saying. He always needs to say. But explains this Fasem as a person who controls his mouth. Nikra yesh peh. That's a person who really has a mouth. Sha'peh v'halev b'reshuso. That's a person who knows how to control his peh, and knows how to control his lave. Okay? However, sometimes in Gematria, we have something called the kolel. Kolel means that you can add one in Gematria. Okay? If you think it's a silly concept, it's really not. It's a very deep concept. And there's a lot of proofs that it works. We don't do it all the time. You have to know how to use it and when to use it. Right? But I'll mention here that the Gematria of peh plus lave is the Gematria of kislev. Peh plus lev is 117. Did I do that right? Yeah, 117. And kislev is 116. So kislev with the kolel is gematria peh plus lev. Because the avoda of kislev is to prepare my heart and to prepare my lips to be able to what? To be able to prepare my soul. What's the gematria of yesh peh? Or this stone, the yosh peh stone. How much is yosh peh? Yud shin peh hey. How much is yosh peh? Yashpe is 395. It's the same gematria as the word neshama, right? Neshama is 395. Neshama, we said, is the same letters as what? As shmona. It's the same as hashemen, right? Hashemen, the oil. So everything that we're doing in preparing our soul during these days, and the truth is there's a lot more to say about. We're not going to go into it so much now because I'm going to stick to this piece. But there's an idea that the candles are speaking to us. There's an idea that if you listen carefully, everyone thinks the candles are for looking at, right? You look at the Hanukkah candles. But the tzaddikim also talk about listening to the Hanukkah candles. That the Hanukkah candles, there's a tzaddik who said that the Hanukkah candles are proclaiming a nevuah. They're speaking in a whisper, right? A whisper. The idea of whispering also means a person who's saying, but also being very careful not to say at the same time. That's what the Hanukkah candles are doing. So we're preparing during these days. We're trying to what? We're trying to become in control of our speech. So that way when Hanukkah comes and we start singing Moz Sur, and we start singing Haneros Halalu, and we start to sing Halel, Lahodos Ulahalel. These are days of finding our voice, but first I have to guard my voice. I have to make my mouth worth something. Otherwise, what good is my praise? What good is my song? Okay, Chava, makes sense so far? Everyone with me? Yeah? Any thoughts? I don't want to add anything. Okay, so let's keep going. Ulavin adavar yoser natik es dvara b'makom acher. Let's see one more sfas emes, he says. Because we know about Paro, hichbadeti es libo. Right? Hichbadeti es libo. That Hashem what? Hardened the heart of Paro. Interesting. Kama pa'amim nisker hachbades libo velo rosho v'kadom. He hardened his eyes, his perspective. It says he hardened his heart. What's the idea of hardening one's heart? Vatam ki arishon b'rishus liban, v'kalol kulo mishubad el libo, because the nature of a rasha is that he's not in control of his heart. His heart controls him. V'zeha mashal shekasev b'medrash. Svasemis references this medrash, a story of a shual, of a fox shenata leiv hachamor, that stole the heart of a donkey. Ayin sham. Look in the medrash. What is this idea of a fox stealing the heart of a donkey? Because when you're not in control of your heart, you don't have a heart. I'm just reminded now of a comment from the Satmar Rav. The Satmar Rebbe said the following. Rav Moshe Wolfson quotes it in his Sefer in Parshas Naso. The Satmar Rebbe said, what do we say in Nishmas? What do we say in Nishmas Kol Chai on Shabbos? We say, Hashem, every tongue sings your praise, and every knee bends before you. Right? And every person's heart is filled with, you know, awe and respect for you. So the Satmar Rebbe asked a very simple question. What do they ask? That's not true. Not every mouth is filled with praise of Hashem. Not every heart is beating with love for God. Not every knee is bending before Hashem. In fact, there are some people in India right now bowing down to their idols in their temple. So what do you mean every knee bends before you? Every mouth sings your praise? It's not true. So you know what the Satmar Rebbe said? The question is the answer, Chavra. A mouth that sings the praises of Hashem is truly a mouth. A heart that feels Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem is a heart. A knee that bends before HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called a knee. A knee that's used in some other way is not, it loses the shame davar. It's no longer called a knee. It's no longer called a mouth. It's no longer called, right? Einayim lehem, like we say in Hallel, that the Avodah Zarah has eyes, but they can't see. Right? Pelahem v'lo yedaberu. Right? They're legs, but they can't move before you. They can't serve you. Yadayim, they're worthless. It's only a mouth that's in control of itself, or that we're in control of, that's worth anything. So by hardening Paro's heart, in other words, a Rasha is not in control of his heart. So when you don't use your heart in the right way, you know what Hashem does? He takes it away from you. And that's what this mashal that the Medrash is telling of the fox that stole the heart of what? Of the donkey. Nikra she'ein lo lev. He has no heart. A Rasha has no heart. Sharei ein halev sholo uvershuso. Adarava. Right? The very opposite is true. He's not in control of his heart. His heart's in control of him. V'lakach amar she'ein l'hachamor lev. That's what the Medrash is getting at when it says that the heart of the what? Of the chamor was stolen away. What does it mean it was stolen away? It means she'eno sholo. It's not his. He doesn't have ownership over it. Umutar legozlo. It's like hefker. When you make your heart hefker, so then it can be taken away from you. When you make your mouth hefker, it can be taken away from you. Vizehu atam. And this is the reason that the stone of Binyamin, who we saw again corresponding to Kislev, the stone of Binyamin on the Choshen is what? Is the Yashpe. Because Binyamin, again, following in the footsteps of Rachel Imenu, Yoshpe, Yeshpe. He has control of his mouth, the Koach Hashtika, and a person who rules over the mouth is a person who truly has a mouth. Okay? So now, let's bring it into the world of, let's bring it a little bit more into the world of Kislev. Umizeh yesh lanu lahavin, shebechodesh Kislev, yesh lanu lavodes kedusha sapeh. However, just for the record, you see here he spells Kislev with a yud. You could spell it both ways, with a yud or without a yud. The real way we spell Kislev is without a yud. That's the primary way to spell Kislev. You will find in the Svarim that they spell it sometimes with a yud and without. The gematria I told you before, 116, is Kislev without a yud. Okay, but that's the more halachic traditional spelling, I believe, without a yud. But again, we sometimes find it with or without a yud. So just to be mindful of that when you're paying attention to the letters. Okay, so Kislev is a time where we want to serve Hashem with a holy mouth. Liknos midas hashtika. V'yesh koach miyuchad b'chodesh hazeh. So again, this is the essence of the month of Kislev, which is the month of Binyamin. This is the month where we can learn how to stop talking to then be able to start talking. It's by closing our mouth at the beginning of the month that we're able to open our mouth at the end of the month, right? It's interesting. Chanukah is one of the only holidays in our calendar that's at the end of a month. Usually, Pesach is in the middle of the month, Sukkot is in the middle of the month, Shavuos is more towards the beginning of the month, obviously Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is more towards the beginning of the month. Chanukah is at the end of a month. It's almost like we're getting ready the whole month for Chanukah. So what is the avod of Kislev? How do we get ready in Kislev? The getting ready is Binyamin, that's the personality of the month. It's learning how to be quiet. And then at the end of the month, you're able to open your mouth to raise your voice. Arume Kala means to raise your voice with Halal and Hoda, to sing praises to Hashem. As the Sfas writes in Purim, his writings on Purim, the Gemara tells us in Menachos that Besamim, very interesting, when it comes to grinding the incense for the Ketores, Kol sound is Yafel LeBesamim. But the Gemara there says that kol, that sound, is ra liyayin. Very mysterious Gemara. That sound, that noise is bad for wine. Okay, wine, you think of wine in terms of Purim, more so than Chanukah. Why is this Fas Emes in Purim being quoted here? Let's see. Yayin, the kol ra liyayin. Sound, noise, is bad for wine. When you're crushing the incense, noise is good. When you're preparing the wine, wine is quiet. Well, what does it mean wine is quiet? If anything, wine is actually not quiet at all. Because think about it, says the Sfas Emes, what happens when we take wine and we use it, right, for the Nisach HaYayin? What do we do at the time that we're pouring wine in the Beis HaMikdash? We sing Shira. So wine actually is supposed to be what? A time where we open our mouth. Says the Sfas Emes, exactly. You have to know how to close your mouth to then be able to open your mouth. When you pour the wine in the Beis HaMikdash, by the way, the Beis HaMikdash, again, as I told you, is really primarily in the portion of the territory. Kodesh Kodashim is in the territory of Binyamin. So when a person is getting the wine ready, quiet. You have to be quiet around the wine, right? If a person is, you know, sitting in a bar drinking, the more he talks, the more trouble he's going to get himself into, Rahman al-Itzlan. Because wine with words can be a very dangerous combination, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you prepare the wine in silence, so then when you go into the Kodesh Kodashim, not in the Kodesh Kodashim, when you go into the Beis HaMikdash, and you pour the wine, then it's a time of Shira. And that's exactly what the Zohar says as well. Yayin b'shtika, wine starts off in silence, v'osid la'arma kala l'besof. But in the end, then you're able to what? Then you're able to raise your voice at the end, when the heart finds its place. So again, we see this concept once again of a silence preceding a dibor. We're quiet the first 24 days, and then we open our mouth on the 25th day. I just understood something new, just now. Gavaldik, just understood something new. There's an amazing Torah teaching. The Zohar says that the 24 days of Kislev leading up to Chanukah correspond to Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Liolam Ve'ed. And the 25th day of Kislev, which is when we start Chanukah, corresponds to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Well, what does that mean? So let's start off simple. How many letters are there in the phrase Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Li'olam Ve'ed? Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Li'olam Ve'ed. There's 24. How many letters are there in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? There's 25. Okay? So the Zohar says the first 24 days of Kislev correspond to the 24 letters of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Li'olam Ve'ed. And then when you get to Chanucha, Chafei, so now that corresponds to the 25 letters of Kriya Shema. No, Yaakov, what am I thinking? You're smiling. I think you got it.
Maybe it's like Baruch Shem Kavod is said very quietly.
That's right.
And Shema said very out loud.
Exactly. Baruch Shem is said in a whisper. So the whole first part of getting ready for Chanukah is sort of whispering. It's being careful with our speech. And then you come to what? Then you come to what? To Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ironically, we cover our eyes, which is, again, so interesting. What do you mean? The eyes are, that's the whole avodah of Chanukah. Ein lana reshus ala oisim bilvad. But the truth is, Shema, Chanukah has a lot to do with the koach hashmiah. Again, listening to the neiros, knowing how to be quiet in front of the neiros and to listen to the neiros. Right? And then also to sing with the neiros. But that's what Tzvas Emes is saying here. The wine that is prepared with shtika, the 24 days of Kislev leading up to Chanukah are quiet days, are whispering days. And then we're able to come to Shira. Then we're able to come to the singing, the Lahodos Ulahalel, which again is really the essence of Chanukah. Okay? Chaver, a couple more minutes. Let's finish up the piece. Let's do a drop more. Okay? We'll see how far we can get. We'll do a little more, another 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Ksiv. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yof Yofisa Mibnei Adam. Now look how much Chanukah you can find in a couple of, look at these psukim. It's unbelievable. Tehillim Memhei. Look how much Chanukah is hinted to in these psukim. Yof Yofisa Mibnei Adam. So where's the Chanukah in that? Show me Chanukah. What do you see? What jumps out at you? Show me a reference to Chanukah. Yof Yofisa. What does that do with Chanukah? No? No one wants to say? What's Yof Yofisa? What does it sound like? Beauty, right? Yof Yofisa Mibnei Adam. You're more beautiful. You're more beautiful than any man. Who does Yavan come from? Who do the Greeks come from? Think back to Noach. Shem, Cham, and Yafes. Right? Who do the Greeks come from? Yafes. They're known for their Yafuso. Yafuso shel Yafes, the Gemara talks about. The beauty of Yafes. The Greeks who are obsessed with what? With their physical bodies. Right? With the guf. With the guf. The power of the guf. You know? The Olympics. Nudity, the beauty of the body, that was the world of the Greeks. And we embrace that, but only on our terms. So, Yaf Yafisa Mibnei Adam, you're beautiful beyond other men. Hutzak Chein, Chein, of course, Chein is Chanukah. Hutzak Chein Besifso Secha. Hutzak Chein Besifso Secha. Chein, grace, article here translates as charm. Is hutzag. It means like endowed. Here they translate, charm is poured upon your lips. Chain on your lips. You're so beautiful, there's chain on your lips. Al kein beirachacha elokim li olam. And therefore you're blessed forever. Chagur charbacha al yarech gibor. Take your sword and gird it to your loins. Gibor, strong warrior. Hodcha vahadarecha. Hod. That's Chanukah. Lahodos ilahala. So much Chanukah in these psukim. And yet, the most obvious reference in this pasuk to Chanukah is the word chen, right? Chen is Chanukah. And where is the chen found? The chen is found in this pasuk besifso secha. The chen is found besifso secha, upon your lips. Says Rav Avram Shor, yesh ledayik b'lashon ha-pasuk, that the pasuk is miyaches chen l'sfasayim. What is the connection between chen and lips? If I said someone is charming, maybe I'm describing they have beautiful eyes. They have a nice smile. What does it mean? Their chen is found on their lips. And why lips? V'lo l'dibor. It specifically says lips here. Sharei motzei hasfasayim hu rak osios beis, vav, mem, and pei. So the Rav Avraham Shor says that the lips produce which letters? Which letters are made with the lips? The beis, the mem, the pei. Right? The lips only produce certain letters. Right, the lips only are able to speak in a very particular way. When I say the letter Dalet, I'm using my tongue. When I say the letter Resh, I'm using my teeth. Why don't we say, if you want to talk about the beauty of a person who's charming with their speech, so say Dibor. Why say lips? Lips are only a certain part of speech. So again, explains the Sfas Emes, this time in his writings on Sukkos. Shasfasayim yesh behem beis kochos. Why do I have two lips? All right, so interesting. An upper lip and a lower lip. The idea of two parts, says the Sfas Emes, correspond to two aspects of speech. Two things I do with my lips. I use my lips to speak, but I also use my lips to what? To block, to keep everything inside. Kochos ha-dibor v'koach ha-shtika. Lips, the two kochos of the lips, the power to speak and the power to be silenced. Like it said here, that what? That hutzak, that it's endowed. Shemasik ha-svasayim sholo ledaber. The lips have been endowed with the power of what? Of closing your mouth, of keeping quiet. V'hainu ki ha-svasayim morim al koach ha-shtika ve'al koach ha-dibor. Lips, again, represent a certain type of limited speech, but maybe the last line of defense, right? To keep everything in. So in a certain sense, to be quiet and not say the wrong thing. To the degree I know how to close my mouth, I'm then able to open my mouth. And the person who always has something to say, no one wants to hear what they have to say. But the person who's quiet, and the person that when they open their mouth, you feel that they're speaking in a way that's calibrated, it's thoughtful. So then people want to listen. People are enticed by their words. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us here. The Pasuk is describing a person who what? Who has beautiful speech. Hutzak chein besif sosecha. Hutzak chein besif sosecha. Lips that are endowed with charm. Ki al yedei hasfasayim yesh lo chein. So Chava, we're really seeing this is a major, major Hanukkah idea. It's so deeply connected to Hanukkah. And then he says that the word safa, right, the root of the word for svasayim, safa is gematria shchina. Because then again, the ability to use my peb, my speech, my lips in the right way, that brings hashras hashchina upon a person. V'yeshlo rames ki shlemas hadibur hu al yedei beis svasayim. And when I use the two parts correctly together, the shtika and the dibur, right? So that's the ultimate goal. And he says, Beis Pamim Safa, if you take the gematria of two times Safa, so to speak, like the upper lip and the lower lip, two times 385 is how much? Is how much? 770. Right? L'ramis sh'ayidei koch beis fasayim yoch la'odim lagia l'midah hatshiyas mila'ela l'tata shuhu midas yesod shekola kedusha tali b'koch hadibur. Okay, he's saying that safa times two is nine, is gematria 700, which is gematria teisha, which corresponds to the ninth midah, which is yesod. Okay, let's leave that. He's referring to the connection between the koch hadibur and the koch of bris mila, right? Which are very much connected. The gematria of Pa is 85. The gematria of Mila is 85. There's a lot of connections there. Okay, but it's a different Indian. It's more of the Indian of Yosef, that more so than Binyamin. So let's leave that for now. Okay, let's do one last paragraph. Let's end with one last paragraph. He quotes for us a very interesting Gemara, and this will link together a little bit the world of Yosef and the world of Binyamin. Okay, and bring it full circle. The Pasuk says, the Navi Yeshaya says, when the Navi is describing how Yerushalayim is going to be built, how the angels are going to be building the walls of Yerushalayim. So the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Perek Nun Dalet, V'samti kadkod shimsho sayich. I'm going to make your windows are sometimes called shimsho sayich, like the shemesh, the sun is able to shine in through the window. So I'm going to line the windows, right, with kadkod. What is kadkod? Is that some type of stone? Rubies, emeralds, what is it? So the Gemara in Bava Basra says, Chad Amar Shoham. One opinion says it's the Shoham stone. V'chad Amar Yoshpe. And one opinion says that it's the Yoshpe stone. The Gemara actually says it was a machlokas between the angels and a machlokas between two of the Amoraim. They had a machlokas. what is the Kadkod? Right? Is it the Shoham stone? Or is it the Yoshpe stone? Okay? So Hashem says, Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar, Lahave Kedain V'Kedain. Hashem says, why not use both? Let's use both. We'll make it extra pretty. We'll use the Shoham stone and we'll use the Yoshpe stone. So, Chaver, so what is Kadkod? It's not an actual type of stone. Kadkod is an acronym or an abbreviation for Kedain V'Kedain. Like this one and like that one. Let's use both. Let's use the Shoham stone and let's use the what? And let's use the Yoshpe stone. In what? In the rebuilding of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Hasar Shalom Bells, the first bells, the Rebbe explained, based on Rabbeinu Bachai and Parshas Tetzaveh, Shekosav Shesugulas Evan HaShoham, Hu Laseis Chein La'odam Be'enei Kol Ro'av. Rabbeinu Bachai, who often says very interesting and wondrous things, Rabbeinu Bachai says, you know what the nature of the Shoham stone is? The Shoham stone, if a person wears a Shoham stone, let's say around your neck, or you have a ring made out of Shoham stone, people will like you. It causes a person to find favor in the eyes of those who see him. Why is that so? I don't know. That's part of the segula. That's part of the wondrous nature of the Shoham stone. Rabbeinu Bachai says the nature of the Shoham stone is that it brings chayin upon people who see a person who wears a Shoham stone. Vinikra Shoham. That's the magic stone. It has this amazing power. Umisha nosa bebeis hamalchus toel harbe v'atzliach. And if a king wears this stone, he puts it in the, you know, in his crown, or he wears it in his signet ring, he's going to have tremendous success. V'yudvar v'nishman. People are going to like him. People are going to listen to him. The Shoham stone has this ability to bring grace and favor upon a person. Fascinating. So says the Belzer Rebbe, Harei she'inyan Shoham mora al hadibor, v'shu'dvar v'noisim chein. Apparently the Shoham has this ability to make a person charming, that when they say things, people listen, that people are attracted to them. And the Yoshpe stone, as we've been learning, is what is Yeshpe v'shosek, is the ability to be quiet. It's the stone of Binyamin, who knew how to keep quiet like Rachel Imenu. So the Gemara says, what should we build Yerushalayim with? How should we bring the Geula? And Chaver, you know what the answer is? You know what Hashem paskins? Kedain v'kedain. You need the Shoham stone, you need the Chein, and you need the Yoshpe stone. You need the ability to speak in a charming way, and you need the ability to be quiet. That's how Yerushalayim, that's how the Geula Asida is going to take place. So Chaver, Chanukah, which all the Sfarim tell us, Chanukah is what? Chanukah is the chinuch, is the preparation for the geula shleima. Chanukah is a training course to get ourselves ready. Chinuch. Chinuch means to prepare, right? Like an education. We're educating ourselves for what? For Mashiach. It's a chinuch for Mashiach. It's a chinuch for the restoration of Yerushalayim. And just like Yerushalayim is being built with the Shoham and the Yashpe, so that's how we build ourselves up during these days. We have to what? We have to find chayin in our speech. But first and foremost, by laying that foundation of what? Of whispering. Of spending the, right? Kadkod, chavdalid, chavdalid. Spending the first 24 days whispering, guarding our speech. Learning how to be quiet in the right way to then be able to open our mouth, lahodos v'lahalal to Hashem. Okay, so Chaver, this is just a little taste of the month of Kislev. Again, it connects so beautifully to what's happening in the world of Daf Yomi today and Meseches Pesachim. And it's Shevet Binyamin. Can I just end with the story? Can I tell a quick story just to highlight the Kalach HaDibor? It's really it's a terrifying story, but it's such a powerful story. I heard it a few years ago from my friend and Rebbe, Rabbi Shai Schechter Shlita. So Rabbi Shai told the story. He said that he once went to visit someone in the hospital. Did I ever tell anyone this story? Did I say this story last year? I don't remember. So Rabbi Shai went to visit an older gentleman in the hospital, who had been diagnosed with a terrible illness. And he's sitting with him, he's being Mavakar Chola, trying to be Mechazik, this fellow. And he's talking to the guy, and the guy says to him, he says to Rav Shai, he says, you know, I know why I'm sick. You know why you're sick? You've been diagnosed with a fatal illness. You know why you're sick? What does that mean? Who says such a crazy thing? What does that mean? So he says, I know why I'm sick. So Rav Shai didn't know what to say, so the fellow told him. He says to him, you know, people often give people a bracha, you should live to 120, right? People say that sometimes, you know, it's like a nice thing on someone's birthday, oh, happy birthday, you know, you should be zochet to live to 120, okay, I mean, most people don't live to 120, it's a nice thing to say, It's a number that for whatever reason we say, again, a person can live longer than 120 technically. It's another shear for another time. Okay. So he always, this fellow, says to Rav Shai, he says, whenever people would give me a bracha, whenever someone said that, my shtick was I'd always say, halavai, I should live to 80, and then we'll renegotiate. That's what he used to always say. Halavai, I should live to 80, I should have good health till I'm 80, and then, you know, then I'll renegotiate to 120. The fellow says to Rav Shai, he says, on my 80th birthday, I was diagnosed with this illness. I always said I should live to 80, and on my 80th birthday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent this machla upon me. So Rav Shai had no idea. He had no idea what to say to the guy. Koach HaDibur, I mean, he was, you know, just like we were learning in Rabbi Nachman the other week. The power of speech, it changes reality. Rav Shai didn't know what to say. He said he was walking in Washington Heights a number of days later, and he ran into Rav Aaron Kahn Shlita. Rav Kahn's one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, and I'm sad if you don't know who that is. But hopefully one day you'll be zocha to meet Rav Kahn. He's unbelievable. So he runs into Rav Kahn. Rav Kahn's a very tremendous Talmud Chacham and a very deep person. So he asks Rav Kahn, he says to Rav Kahn, he tells him this story. So what should I say to such a person, you know? And the doctors are telling him he's got no time to live. And he says, like, I know why I'm sick, because I always said I should live to 80. So he tells him the whole story. So Rav Kahn says, the fellow used to always say he wants to live to 80 and then he'll renegotiate. So did you tell him to renegotiate? Did you tell him to renegotiate? So I said, no, I didn't. So go tell him to renegotiate. The same mouth that said I'm going to live to 80 also said at 80 I'm going to renegotiate. So tell them, it doesn't matter the doctors say you're going to be dead in the short time, go renegotiate. So Rav Shai told the fellow, you know, it's a difficult situation that you find yourself in, but maybe it's not too late to renegotiate with Hashem. And the guy ended up living another 3.5 years, which the doctor said was no way. It was no way it was possible. He renegotiated. But that's the Koach HaDibur, to be so careful what we say. You know, to know how to keep our mouth shut, to then be able to open it, to say something powerful. And that's the Lahodos u'Lahalil that hopefully we're going to be zocha to this Chanukah. Okay?